Now, when you come to church, there's at least four reasons to come to church. Information. How many like to learn something when you go to church? All right, information. But if information is all you learn, is that enough? That's not enough. How about inspiration? It's good to be inspired in the Lord. It's good to be inspired and want to keep going and allow your spirit to be encouraged and all of that. So inspiration, that's important as well. What else might you get at church? Impartation. It's not enough to just have information. That's good. It's not just enough to have inspiration. It's absolutely crucial when you come in the presence of the Lord with the people of God, that there be an impartation of His presence into your spirit and into mine. We have come to meet with Jesus. Why have you come here this morning? The Lord knows who you are. He knows the number of hairs on your head, or in my case, the decreasing number of hairs on my head. But He knows. He knows what you need. Some people probably didn't sleep well last night. I've had an occasion almost 20 years ago now when my wife passed away, my first wife passed away. No matter how many medications I was given by a doctor to help me sleep, I was literally wide awake with every nerve ending active, and I could not sleep. And we sometimes lay awake wondering where God might have gone. We know in our knower He's there, but sometimes we wonder in a tangible way, where did you go? So we need inspiration, and we need an impartation of His presence. But I believe it's not just that. I think that there's another step, and it's called transformation. How many in this room want to be transformed to be just like Jesus? What the world needs now, you know, there's the old 60s song, is love, sweet love. What the world needs now is Jesus. Listen, you've got shootings, you've got stabbings, you wake up and you've got political agendas being pushed in the face on every direction, as if people have all the answers, but the only one who has every single answer that every single person in this room needs is Jesus Christ, who's extending His hands to you and to me right now. So my prayer today is that all four things happen in each one of our lives, that we have an impartation of His presence. And I'm going to do a little storytelling this morning, and I'm actually going to go back to a section of Scripture. And some of you look at me and you could say, Pastor Kev, you've shared this section of Scripture the last three times you preached. I know, I just can't let it go, because I believe there's something there for us. If you will turn to Acts chapter 27, please. Acts chapter 27. And I want to talk a little about when deliverance is messy. When deliverance is messy. Ladies, when you had your children, was it a little messy? Yeah. About five of you will agree. It's messy. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard. So why, therefore, do we have an expectancy that life in our Lord is never supposed to be messy or painful? We have an unreal expectancy sometimes. And we've been taught, in some occasions, a lie. That it's all supposed to be great in the by and by, and it's not messy, and if it's messy, well, you must be out of the will of God. That's incorrect teaching. That's error. God's got His hands on you, and sometimes life doesn't always work out great. And I'm going to catch up to the Apostle Paul, who was arrested. He was being sent to Rome. He's on board a cargo ship, a granary ship, if you will. And there's a lot of soldiers around. There's prisoners on this ship. Because he's appealed to Rome, they were trying to kill him in Jerusalem. So he says to Caesar, I want to go. And they're sending him to Caesar. But a great storm comes up while he's out on the water. And in Acts 27, we find that it's been like 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks. And they haven't eaten because they can't get the ship under control. It's being tossed about by the waves. things. And we read in the scripture, they throw out all the grain supplies, they throw out everything else. The soldiers talk about killing the prisoners and etc. But one night, all of a sudden, after 2 weeks of this, the Apostle Paul stands up. Can you imagine this? The storm's been raging. They're exhausted. They're frayed. Their nerves are frayed. They're at the end of their rope. And all of a sudden, Paul steps up and goes, "Men and brethren," basically, as in today's translation, "don't sweat it. It's all going to be okay." After they harpooned him, they thought, "You're hallucinating, pal." He says, "No, God has spoken to me about what to do, and there'll not be one life lost on this ship. But it's time for you all to eat after 2 weeks." So before they threw out all the rest of the granary, they all had something to eat. But he said, "Not one life will be lost." Interesting. There's a man who believed the word of the Lord, didn't he? Watch this. So they're continuing in Acts 27:41-44. Acts 27:41-44. "But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves." Hey, wait a minute. I thought God spoke to you, everything's going to be okay. And now we're stuck in the rocks, and now the ship's breaking apart. How come this doesn't look like what I just heard? And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, verse 42, "lest any of them should swim away and escape," 43. "But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on board, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land." I said, they all escaped safely to land. And you thought it was going to be easy. Well, when God speaks to you, that's the end of the matter. Well, that may quicken your faith, but sometimes there's a little life to walk through with the Word of God. They got wet. They got wet in the water. They got wet in the rain. They might have caught a splinter or two from the boards of the ship. And they were tossed around, but they got to shore safely. Just like God said. God told Paul they'd all be saved, not that the ride was going to be easy. All right, let's go to Acts 28. And I'm going to read now from a section of the New Living. Acts 28, verses 1 through 5. If you'd please read along with me. "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of," say it with me, "Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us." Now, the people are very kind to us, and in some translations it said the barbarians were very kind to us. So as you read your scripture, so you understand what that means is, in Roman times, when they were in charge, anybody who wasn't a Roman was a barbarian. Just like the Gentiles for the Jewish people. These were barbarian. These were heathen. They were people of a different culture and place. But it says they were very kind to us. It was cold. It was rainy. So they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. And as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. How many want to go from here today, start fires on the camp shore, or on the fire, or on the seashore? It doesn't make you want to do that too much if you've got poisonous snakes around. "The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand, said to each other, 'A murderer, no doubt.'" How do you love the quick conclusion? "A murderer, no doubt." This is all cultural, you guys. In Greek philosophy and in Greek understanding, if you had done something wrong, that something wrong was going to pursue you. And if you didn't get your life taken one way, it would be taken from you in a different way. And so their expectancy was based very much on their cultural perspective. And a murderer, no doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul did what? What did Paul do? Come on, say it out, bold. He shook off the snake. Say it again. He shook off the snake. Say it again. He shook off the snake. I said he shook off the snake. Sometimes the devil wants to come and bite your life. with doubt and discouragement, problems, turmoil, fear. Sometimes the devil wants to speak into your hearing and say, you're not worth anything. Why don't you kill yourself? That's the answer to your problem. Go ahead and kill yourself. And what do we need to do? We need to get involved with Jesus Christ, who loves you so much, and shake off the snake. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. A murderer, no doubt. People are going to fail you. People are going to talk about you. Here's a good sign. Watch this. If you didn't hear it with your own ears or see it with your own eyes, don't invent it with your small mind and share it with your big mouth. Who can say amen?
Amen.
Man, that's a good one. You know, I got to tell you, there are people who gossip and love to gossip and tear people down, and all it does is destroy relationships in the body of Christ. It'll destroy families. It'll destroy long-lasting friendship relationships. If you didn't see it, if you didn't hear it, or you hear something, pray for that person. Don't join in with the gossip. Don't join in with the backbiting. That's wicked. And Jesus condemns this. I love it. Say it with me again. If you didn't hear it with your own eyes or see it with your own eyes, I'm sorry. Let's start over here. I'll get it right. If you didn't hear it with your own ears or see it with your own eyes, don't invent it with your small mind and share it with your big mouth. Acts 28, verses 8 through 10. Acts 28, 8 through 10. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors. When the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Now, this situation went in an opposite direction of how Paul ever anticipated it might go. He had no idea what was going to happen, but he was arrested. He'd been beaten. He'd been stoned. He was on his way to Rome. God tells him they're going to live. They do. He gets bit by a snake, and all of a sudden, the Lord uses those circumstances to bring an island of people to Jesus. How many understand that Malta, this is the planting of Christianity on their island, and they still will refer to Paul today and this shipwreck as the foundations of Christianity in their nation. His response to the Lord here has affected untold thousands and thousands of people for generations because he trusted God even when they spoke badly and a snake bit him. What did he do with the snake?
He shook it off.
It's said that Publius was then ordained as the bishop of the island in the church that was planted there. Thousands changed forever. Let's talk about shake it off. Shake it off. Our coaches, our parents, our influencers. How many were in sports as a kid? Nowadays, you understand concussion protocol so much better than we did. But back then, as a kid, you got slammed to the ground. Something happened, man. You saw stars a couple of times. And what did the coach say? What did your parents say?
Get up.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Keep going, man. Keep going. And that's how we lived. And I remember I lived in Denver, Colorado. I was all over. My parents divorced when I was 6. We lived all over, went to Denver, Colorado. Oh, man. My lung power was incredible as a kid running track. I mean, about the first couple of weeks, I thought I was going to die, because it's the Mile High City, but I got great in track. And then we moved back to Seattle, and I was blessed. I was the fastest runner on the team for about a week. Then I acclimated. But you know, you'd injure yourself, you fall into the track, you stub your toe, you get knocked out, or not knocked out maybe necessarily, but it was always shake it off. Keep going. You can do it. You can do it. You can, you know, how many ever ran and you felt the pain in your side? Come on. You know, felt like you were going to have a baby, only it was the wrong area. But, oh my gosh, it hurt. And you know, you're running around. You don't want to be the wimp in the class, but the coach is looking at you. Come on, man, hurry it up. You run through it. That pain will do you. This is when it does you the most good. Come on. You're all looking at me like, boy, you had weird people. No, man, that's what they all said. Run through it. That's what I said to my kids. Run through it. Then they stopped when it was over and came and hit me. No. Shake it off. But what happens when that doesn't work? What happens in your walk with God when the pain's real and you can't just shake it off? What happens when the questions are real? Maybe your spouse gets cancer, not just a cold. Maybe your kid gets arrested. Maybe your relative is hurt, and maybe you don't know where the next paycheck's coming from, and it's real. And you can't just seem to shake it off. You know, nobody told me when I gave my life to Jesus that my expectancy for life didn't always work. Here's a few thoughts. Things we've been taught, or at least expected, or led to believe. Number one, pain-free living. Right? Pain-free living. I want you to know that since World War II, there's been a major shift, and our newest generations today don't know anything about that kind of shift that occurred at that time. But some of you, some of us who have been around long enough, understand there was a major change and generational shift in thinking that occurred. You had the greatest generation that went off and fought the war, won the war, and came back with that same attitude. And prior to that time, we didn't expect that everybody would have a chicken in every pot and two cars in every garage. And we didn't expect to always have the blessing. And the hymns of the day, the black spirituals working out in the fields, were always about going to see Jesus and how the Lord would help us in the middle of our problems. But all of a sudden, the greatest generation returns, sees a problem, corrects it, and we become the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. And then you take that thinking down a couple of generations, and it transitions into being, I expect life will always work. It's pain-free. And then when it's not, we get bitter, frustrated, discouraged, and angry because we have unfulfilled promises and disappointed longings. I gave my life to Jesus, and it didn't all work out. You're quiet. Has anybody ever felt that? As a kid, my folks divorced, as I said, when I was six. And my dad was always calling up saying, hey, you know, you come on over here. You want to come live with me? I'll take you horseback riding. And I really liked the thought of horseback riding. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And never happened. Never. Come live with me! Anger. Frustration. Then when I did give my life to Jesus, the first thing the Lord put me through was, I want you to forgive your dad. And I just simply said, no. I don't want to. And an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, I was in a puddle of tears and a heap of frustration sitting at the foot of the steps of the altar area at a church. And I said, okay, Lord, I forgive him. Didn't change a thing with my dad, but it totally transformed me. Pain-free living. Take this pill, or do this thing, or that'll take your pain away, or why don't you live with him or her, or why don't you just hook up? Friends with benefits, after all, and it's pain-free. The only problem is, comes sneaking in from the side, are emotions you didn't expect. Problems you didn't anticipate. And all of a sudden, jealousies and emptiness. Hey, there is pain. So that pain-free living thing, that's a lie. And your heart hurts with people whose eyes begin to open up to the lie. How about risk-free living? Risk-free living, right? You won't get caught. You're all looking so holy. When you were in high school, did you ever think that? What'd you do? You'd have to tell me. You won't get caught. And especially today, if you do, there are no consequences. You can always abort. Oh, you can just wait a few hours and that euphoria, the pills, it'll be gone. But the problem is you did that one time and now you're addicted. Or the pornography or whatever it is. All of a sudden, you're addicted and it bit you back. There are consequences. There are always consequences to every choice. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. The devil just wants to tempt you. The devil just wants to destroy you. You understand the devil has nothing good in mind for you, right? He just wants to get you trapped. Pain-free living, risk-free living. And how about this one, number three? Just do it right and you'll be all right. Just be good enough and you'll be all right. Be a good boy, be a good girl. There's nothing wrong with being a good boy and a good girl. But how many have discovered in your own life you can't save yourself? And you can't earn your way to grace. Jesus went to the cross and he extended his hands out and he said, Father, forgive them. I give them mercy and I give them grace. And that's the hope that he has for you and me. But you know, the problem with trying to be just a good boy all the time, you know, I when I was younger, I was a workaholic. I probably, my wife would say, what do you mean younger? You know, I'm very competitive. Been in sales all my life. And so, you know, I beat every sales record. Nobody had to give me a sales quota. I beat their sales quota. And by the time I finished selling radio ads and where I was selling radio ads, I had 10 times more sales than they ever thought I could and replaced me with a couple of people. And then when I'm not selling, I see other people getting the stuff I used to sell and I go, okay. But you know the problem with that is? You have 2 seconds of joy with a completed goal, and then in comes rushing, so what'd you do for me lately? And if you're trying to perfect yourself by your own good works, what did you do for me lately is the devil's trauma to your soul. You're not saved by the good works of Jesus. Or by his good works you are. You're not saved by your good works. Aren't you glad you don't have to do your good works? It's his good works that matters. He did it all for you. So it's not pain-free. It's not risk-free. It's not good enough. That doesn't work. I mean, it's all about Jesus. Come on, somebody say it with me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Shake this stuff off in the fire. You're never going to get an answer to life that way. So let's stand. Let's stand. What's it mean as we go on? Stand. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. Would you turn there, please? Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. You know, some people think Jesus is just a big Santa Claus handing out goodies, right? Just like the politicians running around right now. I'll give you free medicine, free education. I'll give you a free car if you want one. You know, they did this a long time ago, too. A free chicken in every pot. All of it. It's age old. I'll give you all the free bennies and all the free stuff. And then you vote for me and find out it doesn't work that way. Say amen or oh no. Okay, you're quiet. Jesus is the only Savior. I'm not here to rail on any politician. I'm simply to say Jesus is the only one who can really help. Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 13. For we do not wrestle the problems of life today worse than we've ever seen them, murders, stabbings, etc. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, say it with me, please, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The lighthouse stands up tall during the time of storms to lead the people that are battling for life out on the sea back to safety. We bring them to Jesus. Listen, your friends or people who may have taught you risk-free, pain-free, be good enough, they're going to abandon you when the going gets tough. But Jesus never does. I said, Jesus never does. Let me say it over here. I said, Jesus never does. Let me say it over here. I said, Jesus never does.
Amen.
But Pastor Kev, it hurts. Yeah. And you've got a Lord who comes and puts big arms around you. And he does it through his people. And we love you. And he loves you. He's good. But I want to say to you, just visit a thought here. All those things you're trying to do on your own, be good enough, etc. Do you understand there's 168 hours in the week and church is one to maybe two? So if I can't help you transform wrong thinking into biblical thinking, I don't help you in your daily walk. When the Church of Jesus Christ teaches people that God never allows you to go through any suffering, that's not God. You must have missed God. God wants you to have every provision you ever wanted in your life. It all works great when you give your life to Jesus. When the Church of Jesus Christ teaches that, that leads to wimpy Christians who don't know how to stand when the going is tough. Come on, I said wimpy Christians who don't know how to stand when the going is tough. Sometimes life's tough.
Amen.
Was that a surprise? No. No, I'm not trying to be mean either. I'm just simply saying what we need to be able to do is take a look at what Paul teaches us here and look at what God wants us to walk in with what kind of understanding. And what it means is we need a faith quake. In our thinking, we need a faith quake. Something's got to be stronger than you or your problems. Something's got to be stronger than the pain of disappointment. Jesus is tough enough to handle it. Jesus is strong enough to walk with you. Jesus is strong enough to not abandon you, sustain you. Jesus hung on a cross and Jesus says, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And it says in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood as we read, but against principalities, powers, rules of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, having taken up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, say it with me and boom it out, church. Everybody, stand. 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 You don't have to run when it gets tough. You don't have to give up. Just stand up. Faith quake in your faith. He hung on a cross. He took your sins and mine. Jesus didn't run from me. He did it all when I couldn't do it. And then he has his hands extended on the cross and says, Father, forgive them. The Bible says, while we were yet enemies, he did it for us. When I wasn't interested in the slightest, he did it for me and for you. He forgave. He forgave. Now today, every city around the United States, all through our country, we have warfare based on you offend me and I go after you in war. Jesus was rejected, despised, spat on. He was the offended. And he said, forgive them. Maybe it's an opposite direction that will bring healing to our land. Amen. Romans 5, 8 through 11. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. But there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we've heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater then friendship is ours. Now that we're at peace with God, because we share in His resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? You don't have to be controlled by sin. You don't have to be dominated by discouragement. You don't have to let those things shake you when the tough time comes, because He's got you in the palm of His hands. Are you glad, church? And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living in harmony with God, all because of Jesus Christ. Not all that long ago, I was with a friend who had a complete breakdown. Life racked with shame and difficulty and frustration. The friend apologized to me for having a breakdown. And all I did was walk up to this person and just hold them. Because a breakdown, well, we've got a great big God who knows how to help us when we break down. And every single one of us are in the same boat. Come on, Kev, you don't have problems like I got them. Oh, yeah. All God's kids got problems. Real people have real problems and need a real God. And who do they need? Jesus and His family. Because His genuine family is Jesus with skin on. That's what the church is. Jesus with skin on. I can't guarantee you the church will never fail you at times, or somebody won't ever fail you, but Jesus never will. And we hang in with each other and encourage each other. That's what Grace Christian Center is. Trying to be as much as we can and growing. Jesus with skin on. Got a mess? Jesus is the only one who can forgive and make it right. I've blown it too bad. If you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my beautiful friend, are not that powerful. Jump from the past into your future with a group of people who are Jesus with skin on, who are reaching out to help you in your walk. What's your story? Everybody here in this room's got their own story. What's yours? Pain-free, risk-free, trying to be good enough, found that none of it worked? Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm here to tell you how much He does. I try, in some fashion, to say something that'll give you something to hang your head on for when you go home. And I pray there's been something today that helps bring a faith quake into a great big Jesus who loves you so much. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, in a few moments, we're going to sing a song. And you have an opportunity to come right on up front. Walk right up. And we'll finish, and then I'll pray for you. We'll have the opportunity, I am honored, to lead you to Jesus who loves you so much. Bob, has He ever failed you?
No.
He's never failed. 90 years of living, and Jesus has never failed. However many lives are here in this room, that many people are radically loved by Jesus. Shake off the snake and receive Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've already given your life to Jesus, Pastor Kev, what's this got to do with me? I dare say, I think that upon occasion we need reminders about how to think and live and walk with Jesus. Can you say, Jesus loves me, even when I'm unlovely. Jesus helps me, even when I feel helpless. Jesus is the Son of God who loves me. John 3:16-18, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave His one and only unique Son as a gift, so now everyone who believes in Him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it. So now, there's no longer any condemnation. I said, so now there's no longer any condemnation. Come on, I said, for now, there's no more condemnation. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to go through life discouraged. I can receive Jesus who loves me, who walks with me, who frees me, who forgives me, who's got everything for me. And I can hang out with God's people who are Jesus with skin on. I got a reason to rejoice in the Lord. How about you? Because we get to be friends of God. Now it's your turn to come to Jesus. It's your time. Stand with me, will you? Musicians, will you come? We're going to go back, Roxanne, to friend of God. I'm just so glad to be a friend of God. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray for you.
Mr. Kevin, can I share something?
Go ahead.
I am so thankful that I didn't miss this message, because when I got up this morning, I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. I felt so bad. Every muscle hurt, everything in my body hurt. I said to Mark, I can't believe how bad I feel. And the first thought that went through my head was, I can't go to church. I just feel too bad. And as I sat there, then I thought about, I'm sure Jesus didn't feel real good when He went to the cross. But He did it.
Amen.
You know, and I just kind of pushed myself through it, and I prayed and I read my Bible, and I didn't feel any different. And I prayed for myself and I didn't feel any different, but I thought to myself, the devil's a liar, and I need to go, and I know I need to go, and I know now that I needed to hear this message. And I'm so thankful that the Lord encourages us and He gives us the strength to do what we need to do. And I can honestly say right now, I feel better. So I thank God for the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because that's what the body of Christ is. We need each other. And I just praise God so much this morning that I was here.
Amen. Amen. How many are glad Jesus loves you? I said, how many are glad Jesus loves you? Jesus, we come before You this morning and we are just so thankful. Thankful that we are friends of God. By Your grace, by Your mercy, You came today and 2,000 years ago, literally to rock our world by the grace of Jesus. We are grateful. And Lord, we come to You and we lay down every bit of wrong thinking and we pick up new thinking. We have that faith quake in our lives today, knowing that no matter what, You're right here. And we haven't been abandoned by God. We give You praise, Lord. We give You praise. Come on, church. We give You praise, Lord. We give You praise. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Now I pray Your blessing on each person as they go from this place to face a world where it's a discouraging place, but we have an encouraging God. And wherever we go, we get to bring salt and light because we know that we've not been abandoned by our Lord Jesus. And we get to give You away. Bless each one for taking time to be here today. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
If you have been spoken to by the Spirit of God, thank Him, praise Him. If you need prayer before you go, make sure you get prayer. We've got a room full of people who would be honored to pray for you. Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in another place in the Bible, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Be released in the joy of the Lord. Amen.